Yes,
it's 6:30. We were talking and jabbing, and here we are. This is Judy Nathans again.
And I'm still Robert Winters.
You're Robert Winters with your Honda Civic.
That's right.
2014 Honda Civic, getting checked out by its personal doctor.
Yes, right? Indeed. So one other thing that was not subject to much conversation at the most recent city council meeting, because the Gaza-related things were so consuming, quite honestly.
But it also they got charter righted, so one of them did, right?
Yeah. So there was one item that of some significance. I think it's significant. I don't know what's going to become of it. There was a petition from Lauren Crowe. Basically, and you know, I'm just going to say how I view it. I think it's written in such a way as to try and gut the whole idea of neighborhood conservation districts.
Okay.
And again, this is really a continuation of a kind of a kerfuffle that's been going on with the East Cambridge,
right. Who proposed to have a conservation
district. East Cambridge Conservation District. And then there were a few people who raised hell about it. And some people then started demanding that, oh no, you have to have renters in there, but the state law says one thing.
Yeah. So, okay.
But you know, I'll say straight away, I don't see this as in any way trying to be constructive. Yeah. I just think this is basically a continuation of the same kind of kerfuffle that's been going on between people.
Yeah.
What happens with it, we'll see. But I think what you'll see is a little bit more of what has been happening the last couple of years, which is city councilors sort of just taking sides based on which political constituencies they happen to align with. You know, so, you know, already people, I think, are mistakenly sort of associating this particular petition with the ABC group support it, but they didn't write it.
But it really had nothing to do with it. And that was sort of unfortunate, but that's what happens when you have this stuff goes out.
Yeah, like so that. What will happen then? People will say, you know, people will embrace it or reject it, who knows? So it's just yet another litmus test as we head into our municipal election season.
Anyway. They want to change the ordinance language, which is, that's going to be.
Yeah. But, you know, the dichotomy to me is sort of being, you know, it's like, is it owners versus renters? Some people want to make it out as owners versus renters. And neighborhood conservation districts, by some people's point of view, and I think this is mistaken, is all about property owners trying to increase property values, which I don't think that's the way it is. I think it's more like there's development pressure and they want to basically put up a
barrier.
You know? And so is it generally initiated by property owners? Well, yeah. I mean, they're the ones with the vested interest.
Right. They don't want to have this big, huge, and it could be a commercial building. It doesn't have to be, whatever.
But if the dichotomy that people are trying to make this out as is one of
property owners,
enrich themselves versus renters, I think that's mistaken. I mean, I am far more inclined to characterize this similar in nature to sort of the fight that would happen in New York where Robert Moses was going to bring on the future and you know, and we have to clear the slums and we have to bring in new this versus Jane Jacobs, the book of which is sitting here right behind me, you know, who basically was sort of taking on Goliath, you know, in that way, in more of a Boston Cambridge context. You know, many people bemoan the loss to the clearing of the West End of Boston, which used to be a thriving Jewish neighborhood, but it was slummy by some accounts. So, and then that became the Rappaport Project. You know, remember the signs that would say along Star Drive, if you lived here, you'd be home now.
Yeah, then that during the Vietnam War, that if you lived in, if this was, you'd be dead now. You remember that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so the thing is so, you know, so, Is that what some people want? Yeah. Is let's just wipe out the things as they are because we've got the great grand vision of the big towers, you know, and only to have it be the case 20 years later that everybody goes back and go, what were we thinking?
Well, urban renewal. I mean, this came up urban renewal wasn't necessarily good for a lot of people either. It cleared things and displaced people. So there's
So to me, I worry a little bit that. You know, again, I'm not going to name all the actors in this game here, but there's a little too much enthusiasm for tearing down the city right now in favor of, either density or whatever. You know, well, the thing is, there's a lot worth preserving, and I just want people to acknowledge that.
And this ties into the whole missing middle thing, which I think is coming up on June 10th. Is that right?
Yeah, there's another ordinance committee meeting on that one, and and for I think the planning board basically voted against it.
Well, did they vote against it, or did they just gave their reasons, but they didn't take a stand, I thought.
Right, right. But there was it was an effort to
two people were for it,
and I think three went for it, five went against it. What I think is still to be decided, though, is so there were some people were basically heard some criticism of the so-called missing middle petition. So now they came back with some amended versions of it.
I listened to that planning board meeting. It was just like, but some people questioned whether, well, we don't have this before. It was just very confusing.
Well, now I'm not the city solicitor, but in my opinion, the amendments so thoroughly changed the nature of the proposal that it really, it should properly be refiled. It is not the same petition.
That was the argument.
It just isn't. And if anybody says it is, or if they somehow push that through and claim, oh no, it's just a modified version. No, that's just not true.
But that's what split.
It's intellectually dishonest.
But that's what the planning board came up with, that some felt it wasn't.
So we'll see what happens when the ordinance committee picks it up, and if the city solicitor chimes in with an opinion on that, respect the city solicitor.
All I know is that you cannot just take a single, and we've talked about this, a freestanding building that might be a two-family and make it into a three-family as it is. It's going to cost more. That's why you see things being knocked down and four cubes being built, because it's cheaper to do that than it is to convert the other thing. So if anyone thinks this is going to be inexpensive or open to people that can afford to live here, forget it. You're talking about the minimum $700,000 a unit.
Right.
Really. I mean,
one little note to self I have written down here, which is when I think about all of the proposals that have come before us, yes, they did pass affordable housing overlay, which is, you know, a way of facilitating the creation of new subsidized housing.
Yeah, and we don't agree on that one, but I was in support of that because it made more sense to me.
The point I was going to make is that if what people want is more generally the affordability of housing, right? Just for a person who's looking for an apartment or something to buy, there is not a single group has proposed or executed anything to achieve that end.
That's a good point.
And when people kind of start parading up during public comment, argue in favor of this and that, I want everybody to understand that there is not a thing that has been proposed or carried out to actually achieve that goal.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe the only way that goal is achieved is if housing development in the entire region actually happens, so that there's a marketplace and whatever. But let's not stop pretending, you know? I mean, if it's unaffordable, it's unaffordable, you know? And I don't know that I've heard anything that really actually is going to materially affect that.
Yeah, I mean, the prices
Except time.
In this city are they're out of whack. I mean, anyway.
Yes.
But,
right. But again, I'll, as I say, if we have to take sides, I'm going to stick with Jane Jacobs on this one.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
You know, and by the way, when we say Robert Moses, we don't mean the other Bob Moses of the Algebra Project. We mean the tyrannical Robert Moses of New York.
Is he still alive, the Robert Moses of the Algebra Project?
Of course. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Bob Jenner Moses. You bet.
All right.
And their family, I mean, honestly, they were all very actively involved.
True.
Know? So the other big item, which
that's going to generate a lot of public comment on Monday.
They
might have to have another special meeting. We'll see.
Right. Again, so what we're talking about here was that starting last summer in the wake of the George Floyd incident, there was a lot of talk about either abolishing the police, defunding the police, reforming the police, call it what you will. right? But what did grow out of it eventually, I forget exactly when it was appointed, was it was actually, it wasn't appointed until January, I think, finally, of was this task force
for public safety, right?
Right. Which is, you know, in a city like Cambridge, where you actually have a police commissioner who is open to suggestion and is already carrying out suggestions, I thought that was pretty good. You know, that's good. Let's have a conversation. But at least in my opinion, it is, it has been, and I'm not taking sides in saying this, but it has not been the most transparent process, and maybe there are reasons for that.
And they even said that,
I mean, I sent messages to, you know, to the police department and others to try and get information. Eventually, they begrudgingly put some minutes of an agenda, some meeting, and then they stopped. And then this task force report just came out at the previous meeting, council meeting.
Right.
But the thing is, what happened then was not just the report from this task force,
right?
But simultaneously an order sponsored by several councilors,
right?
For something that is being that came out of, I think, the group that calls itself the Black Response,
right?
Called
and the also Heart Proposal. And the consultants were from Oakland, so it was not,
right.
Called the Heart Proposal, holistic emergency something, I don't know, response team. Whatever.
And so that was made subject to the charter, right? So I guess that will be, you know, the people will come parading to the microphone, presumably this coming this next
Monday
meeting. But the thing is about this is that ultimately whatever the task force recommendations were, or this alternate proposal, which actually is not thoroughly different, but in some respects is substantially
I'm sorry, Robert. I read both of them, and the public, I mean, this was just a report, the task force. The other one is a proposal, and it's very thorough, but it is so layered with so much personnel stuff and so many boards. But the big takeaway to me is that I think police were mentioned once in a 30-page report, whereas in the public safety proposal, in the public safety report, right from the get-go, there is mention of the police, because I'm sorry, they are part of this. And
without question, the authors of the Heart Proposal,
they don't want anything.
Pardon me if I make an enemy or two here right now. The thing is, the authors of this have been known to refer to police as slave catchers, and to advocate the abolition of police, to demand that there no police be admitted into places like public housing projects, right, throughout the city.
And we
they are not without a point of view.
And one of the authors, Queen Cheyenne, is also on the task force. And so my guess is that this came about because she wasn't,
I think
that it's too tied into the city.
The task force, I believe the appointments to that task force, there was an effort from the city manager to have it really be balanced, whatever that means, okay?
But you know what, Robert, I looked at that and I was trying to see how many of these people have real mental health training. There weren't was a consultant, none. I think this is an issue because a lot of this does involve, and the police even say that, they need more input from people that can understand what a psychiatric emergency is or something, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it just frustrates me because
I'm not a fan of the so-called Heart Proposal. No. I did find it interesting, though.
Yeah.
In this sort of year of political pandering, the degree to which some city councilors were just gushing in support and praise for something that I don't think they even understood.
Well, also, you know, the language, it wants to be a quasi non-governmental organization, QANCO, which I guess is a thing. A nonprofit 501c that directly collaborates with and is funded by a government body.
Right.
Do we have any 501c's that are directly funded by the government right now, by the city? I think it's usually through an agency and then you have a contract or something.
There are independent funds that are some like that, not so much organizations. No.
Okay.
I don't believe so. So I think it's naive initially, but however, I think that, so if the real issue, ultimately whether it's task force or hard proposal, I'm sure people are going to try and play up to political constituencies and all this. But ultimately, what happens here is recommendations are made to the city manager, who together with the police commissioner will basically, yep, you know, sort things out and come up with something that they feel is a good idea. I am of the opinion personally that I don't know that the way we currently handle people who are having mental health crises and things through the police, I'm not going to say for sure we do it exactly right.
I don't know if we do it exactly right. I don't think we do, because I think the minute you show up and you have guns, I think that's a statement. So I think there has to be a way. And that's why, out of all of this, I really looked into the CAHOOTS thing, which is why I had this all started. They seem to have it right. And it's not this big layered thing. And it's, and they're, and they are, they are, they're 501c under a clinic, and then they're funded through funds from the police department. And over, it's been over 30 years, they have a very good relationship with the police department.
Yeah.
So this is not going to happen in a day. And also Eugene, Oregon, was, I thought, oh, it's a smaller community. It's 168,000. So I think, and they have two mobile vans. It's not all this. I think that's a great way. It's a mobile response team. They go to these places. If they need the police, they call them. I think there's ways. There's got to be a I think something has to be done.
My intuitive feeling about our police commissioner is that if there is a good way something. To do it, exactly. he'll be very receptive to it.
Because this is true. I mean, if you look at Dallas police, they've said this. We don't want to have to go out and with the mental. I mean, and I've brought this up before, and I haven't been able to get any information on it. I worked at a place in the 80s called the Concord Crisis Center, and that's what we were. We went out with beepers. The police called us and said, please go check out this situation. We had pink papers in our pockets that were pre-signed by psychiatrists. I don't know. And I've actually looked that up. That's legal. And that went away. That was in the 80s. And I'm thinking, you know, that's, and I remember once there was somebody with a gun in a closet in Acton or something. And I don't remember how that got resolved. But what I'm saying is, there's ways you can do this, and we should get back to that. So anyway.
Yeah. So I actually have a lot of faith that our police commissioner
and the city manager will
come up with a good merging of ideas, and it will come of this.
I mean, I have seen what they've done with the, like, I had a guy that was passed out in front of my house years ago, and I called the police and I was concerned, but they have police that are trained to work with, and they were so gentle and so kind. And, but still, that the presence of guns on police, I think, is an issue. So I think
one matter which I think is significant. Yeah. And I have a friend who works in police dispatch. And the question I have is, are you really going to put all the onus on making all the right decisions on the police when they're doing the communications people to make all the decisions as to what the right response is?
No, but I think that's asking
an awful lot.
No, but CAHOOTS has figured that out. They work in tandem. There's a different, they've worked that out. Obviously that has to be done, but I think dispatchers would welcome some kind of input into that. And is this a call that should go here or here? So they're all aware of it. No, I think that to me can be worked out. And I think they'd be willing to do that. Anyway, I hope they look.
But anyway, so we'll that'll be the
it's
the brouhaha of this coming Monday. Presumably.
I'm just not looking forward to some of this. Oh, we got.
But I think one of the part of the political dynamics will be that if you do not just march lockstep with the Hart proposal that is being promoted in a very political manner,
then you're racist.
You're an evil person or whatever. Yeah. You're a retrograde.
You're either anti-Semitic or you're racist, no matter.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
And I'm
so
sorry.
That'll be the ugliness, I think.
I know.
That I would expect that. So, by the way, it is an interesting part of the political rhetoric.
Yeah.
And I think we've heard this actually from some of the counselors at the most recent meeting as well, where they said the community already has a proposal. The community.
You haven't heard from me.
I think it was Denise Simmons and or Mark McGovern who basically says, well, what do you mean by the community? You know, if one group of three women basically come up with a proposal and say, this is what the community is, I'm sorry, but three women from Cambridge does not represent the community. So to me, that is sort of pretty nasty rhetoric that's going on now, is where people are pretending to be the voice of the people, or I'm the one who represent the people. You know, nobody's talking to the people of Cambridge.
No, and especially with Zoom now, anybody can really get out there much more easily than if it was at City Hall.
Yeah.
By the way, when is that going to happen? You think in fall we'll be meeting at City Hall?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me.
Things will be lifted. I mean, he's lifting a lot of these orders.
June 15th, the state of emergency is lifted. There are some issues about whether it's the open meeting law even is going to continue to permit some of these meetings to take place.
Okay, there you go.
I'm sure there'll be some legislative action, you know, just sort of allow some more.
Just like with remote work.
But, you know, to me, the first real sign, I think, I'm sure we're going to still be Zooming it all through June. But
the last meeting is June 28th.
Right. There's the special midsummer meeting. It happens second, I believe. And we'll see. Okay. It's a very real possibility that City Hall may be open by then. And I see no personal reason why it shouldn't be open by then.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't really see any reason why it shouldn't be open now. But, I think
let's conclude this season.
We're taking a cautious approach. And in many respects, I'm glad for that. So, but I imagine by midsummer that we may very well see.
I would assume our schools are going to be open in the fall. So it means the library should be fully open. So that means City Hall should be fully open.
Let's warm up to it. Yeah.
Unless something really happens with coronavirus.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Now, there are a few things that are kind of election related things that I thought I might want to mention.
Okay.
All right. Again, no new candidates have emerged. I think the last city council candidate to emerge was Robert Extud, who actually
Paul Toner officially declared.
Paul Toner is now officially in. No big surprise.
No.
You know, and I'm sure we'll be getting a few other kind of interesting bits of information. But we're in June now. You pick up papers July 1st, right? Mm-hmm. So this is probably the month when people, if there are any more announcements to be made, you'll probably get them this month.
What about incumbents? Any incumbents not declared yet?
There are two who have not declared, Tim Toomey and Patty Nolan.
Patty Nolan, right.
I'm pretty sure Patty Nolan's running again.
Yeah.
Not so sure about Tim, though.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. But you know, there are some other rather consequential things that'll be happening in a political and election related vein this year. You know, 2020 census information, I think, is compiled.
Right.
And so at some point very soon comes the redistricting process, which can
That's
be controversial.
Important. Yeah, definitely.
It's not going to be as harsh as it could have been because we are retaining the same number of members in Congress, right?
Okay.
So we're not going up, we're not going down. So I suppose they could simply redraw the same lines along the same lines, but there are requirements in terms of having very minimal variance between districts in terms of population, number of residents. And you know, as more people live in certain areas, that will necessitate moving the lines a little bit. There's also, because of socioeconomic concerns, there may also be some need to adjust lines in order to create majority-minority districts and things such as
but
that.
But how would that affect Cambridge, though?
We used to have one congressional district that encompassed all of Cambridge. Now it's split into
three,
Clark
right?
and Presley.
I'm
talking about the United States
federal.
Congress.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the matter of state Senate and state rep seats, and I haven't been following that, but those could all be adjusted as well.
Sure, I get you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, but people should just be aware that that's coming.
Okay.
You know, may actually get all settled later this year. I'm not 100% sure the calendar for that happening, but it's in the works.
Okay.
One thing I was this sort of outside of Cambridge, but I'll do it in reverse order. Somerville mayoral election is new since Curtatone is not running. It's like, it seems to me it's been sort of a free for all.
Yeah, like who's running for that? I haven't followed
several,
it.
I didn't even write down the list of them all. There's some townies, there's at least three that I've heard of.
But anything legitimate, any real legitimate moderate type candidate?
I think so, but I don't know. I don't know really.
Okay.
But one thing I did find interesting is a guy named Will, just because I think it's actually a kind of part of a larger phenomenon. which is sort of part of the outgrowth of the Bernie and the Our Revolution.
Right. Whatever.
So there are a lot of the people of that political vein on the Somerville City Council now, and we have a few on the Cambridge City Council.
Right.
So there's kind of like a cross, you know, a cross boundary phenomenon happen. I was very intrigued to see that Will Mba, who is a Somerville City Council, is running for mayor. Among his contributions was a $1,000 check from one Quentin Zondervan of Cambridge. Oh,
interesting. You know? Okay.
And I think because they're all sort of part of this kind
of. So he's a progressive counselor, this Will?
Yeah. Somebody? So what you're going to be seeing is sort of Somerville, Cambridge, and beyond affiliations where people from Somerville are contributing to Cambridge campaigns and Cambridge people are contributing to Somerville campaigns because they're all part of the same political movement.
Isn't it that? Now, you couldn't do that here, could you, with our new camp? They're the ones we're proposing. Isn't it 250?
Yeah, that's not going to happen, though. Yeah, I mean, there's a proposal about putting limits, but those.
No, but I think it's interesting that he can throw $1,000, you know, whatever.
He's got money. He's got money.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, outside of the area, too, I think it's in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. Oh, they have a lot of candidates there. And it is actually, they're going to be looking at, I believe, a September 14th.
Oh,
preliminary
the primary
election to whittle it.
And unfortunately, it won't be ranked. It won't be
it's a top two runoff. So basically the top two. Okay. So, you know, and what that means is whoever seems to be the champion of one constituent, it'll be the, you know, anyway, it'll be interesting. I don't think it's ideal.
Crazy.
But I didn't actually realize or remember until today was that in New York City, they're going to also be having
Andrew Yang is running there.
In June 20, and it's coming up soon, June 22nd, they have a preliminary election for, I don't exactly know what the ring is, but they're using ranked choice voting.
Oh, they are?
The mayoral ones, yeah.
But it's not a primary in June?
It is, I believe, something of a primary. So I don't actually know what the result will be, but I guess we're down to our last 10 seconds.
We're down to our last 10 seconds. So
that's something I will be following sure.
So. Now we're not going to meet this schedule till after July 4th.
No, we'll be back 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. But after that, it's 3 weeks. Bye.